Rumble Podcast. I'm so happy you're here. Today we're tackling a really, really amazing topic. And it's special for all you caregivers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, but especially if you're a parent and you have young kids, this episode is for you. We're tackling kids and healthy eating, picky eaters. We're talking about all of this and how to help get them more excited about cooking and eating healthier. So this is really an important topic. If you're raising vegan kids, or if you just want to incorporate more vegetables and healthier foods into their diet. So wherever it is that you are on this journey, you're welcome to listen in. I'm so happy you're here. So before we get on started with our episode, last week I read an amazing, amazing review we had on iTunes. I am so grateful for all of you who are leaving reviews. But this week I got something a little bit different. I got a letter, and I mean like an actual letter, like the one you get in the mail. This is really amazing. I received this amazing card from one of our My Brown Bowl members. That's our online program. And it was just so sweet. It made me tear up. I can't believe she took the time to talk about this in this beautiful card she sent us. And it was really, really so special. So I'm just going to read it to you really quickly. It's really short and sweet. So she says, "I know you are aware of this, but here it goes anyway. You guys are such a beautiful and inspiring couple. I am so proud of you guys and what you have achieved during all these years. Brown Bowl is not just amazing, but so helpful and inspiring for a lot of people you have touched and whose lives you have made a little slash a lot better. Well done for that. Keep inspired, committed to it. All of it will pay off, I know for sure. Thanks for making me a part of it. So, so proud of you guys. Hashtag amazing. Hashtag vegan. Hashtag love. Hashtag Brown Bowl. Hashtag healthy. Hashtag dogs. Hashtag family. Brown Bowl rocks. Cheers to it and its future. Carmen." Thank you so much, Carmen. You know who you are, and I am so excited to hear that you're feeling inspired with our content and with the program. This is so exciting. I love hearing from you guys, so feel free to send us an email, leave us a review, just send us a little message through Facebook or any of our social media accounts, and it just makes our day. It makes us work harder for you guys, and it makes us learn from you guys, too, and feel free to tell us what you'd like to hear next, what you feel you need help with. It really inspires us as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is so much love coming our way. I can't believe it. Okay, so on to the topic at hand today. So whether you're raising vegan kids or you're just struggling with getting more vegetables and healthy foods and fruits into your children's diets, today I'm giving you some ideas to help ease that tug of war you might often be going through with your cutie pies. So kids are adorable, right? They're tiny, but they're feisty. Any parent will tell you that most kids will put their foot down and downright refuse to do something if it just doesn't fly with them. So if after hearing that sentence, you're thinking, well, that's the parent's fault, they need to be more disciplined, I want to tell you that although there are shades of gray, food and eating is one of those areas in which kids seem to grow into will-powered giants. It's so tough on parents. It's not their fault. This is really an area where it really gets rocky. So often the anxiety that arises in parents when they see that their child won't eat anything other than Goldfish crackers can feel completely overwhelming. And when parents are feeling scared that their children aren't getting the nutrition they require, they often cave, right? They give them those naughty treats because having them eat something is better than nothing. And I can relate to that. I understand that completely. So I have seen so many of my close mama friends have so much anxiety and frustration around their kids eating. And when that tug of war starts, and that means when the kid feels your resistance and when he feels that you're kind of anxious because you don't know how they're going to react, well, when that tug of war starts, the issues only seem to get worse. So you're kind of, I don't know, putting more wood into the fire. So let me start this off by giving you a little disclaimer. I am not a mother, you know that. But before, well, of course, I have to add another disclaimer. Of course, I'm a mother to two furry balls, but moms of children don't like to hear that sometimes because it's not comparable, according to many people. So it's a different kind of mothering. So I'm not a mother of a human baby. But before you roll your eyes and move on to another podcast episode or to another article that might help you along with this, I want to say this. I'm not a mom, but I have been teaching kids for years, kids of all ages, from three-year-olds to rebellious teens, and many moons ago, I worked as a volunteer in a center for abandoned and foster children, and I was in charge of two things in this center. I was in charge of taking the kids to the playground, and I'm talking 20 kids at a time. Yep, I mean, that was crazy. There was another girl with me, thank goodness, because it would have been impossible, but that was one of my tasks, that was playground duty, and the other thing I had to do every single day while I worked there was mealtime. So I had to feed these kids day in and day out. And some of them were really small, so I had to spoon feed them like you do with babies. And some were a little bit more grown up, and I had to kind of get them to eat. Some of them were severely malnourished. So it really was a tough task, and we really needed to get nutrition into these kids fast. So I've had a firsthand look into what kids eat and the completely bizarre phases they go through, which are not only odd, but they're also completely normal in most cases. So I might not be a mama of a human baby, but I have tons of experience when it comes to feeding kids and, of course, with food, because everything we teach at Brown Bolt has to do with healthy eating and changing habits. So I hope I can still persuade you to keep on listening and that maybe my tips are gonna help you along. Now, let me repeat what I just said a second ago again. Seeing eating phases in your kids is completely normal. It's completely normal. You'll see phases in which your child refuses foods that are a certain color or a certain texture. You'll see phases in which a particular food is the enemy or times in which they develop strange rules around their plate. For example, food that can't touch each other on the plate or having the need to have it placed on the plate in a very particular way. So the most difficult phase for parents, as I've seen it, is the one in which the child is refusing practically everything. And this is where alarms go off in our heads and we can transmit that anxiety onto our kids and make things even worse for both parent and child. So all of these stages are transitory and they're normal. And of course, I have to add another disclaimer here. This is the case unless your child has a more serious behavioral or psychological issue with food, especially as they come into their preteen and teenage years in which food starts getting associated with body image issues. And that's where, all of these food problems and eating disorders can start popping up. So that's another issue. But today we're talking about the earlier years in which kids just don't want to eat, right? So in my years of teaching, I've seen kids completely submerge cookies in a glass of milk until the whole thing becomes like this mushy mess that they have to eat with a spoon. And then I've seen the same exact kid have a complete meltdown if a drop of milk fell on top of another type of cookie. So they have all these rules related to food, and we might not understand them, but for them, they're just completely clear as day. And, you know, I've seen kids eat fruits when they're chopped in a certain way, but not in another. I've seen kids refuse to eat their favorite sandwich simply because a tiny millimeter of crust still remained on the bread, even though mom or dad carefully trimmed the crust off before packing it in their lunchbox. So I bet if you look back, you'll even find your own little food pet peeves. And I'm going to tell you mine. Mine are those little strings in bananas. You know, when you peel a banana and you have that little string, you have several in one banana. I have to carefully remove each one or I just can't eat it. And this is true. This wasn't when I was a kid. This happens now. I don't have it with anything else, but with bananas, I'm just really particular with how I like to eat my bananas. So I know it's the weirdest thing. But as usual, I always try to be brutally honest here. So remember that we all had these. Some of us still have these as adults. So it's always a nice thing to think about, to relax on the topic a little bit. So this post and this episode is not meant to be a manual of advice, nor will it give you the nutritional or serving requirements for your child, okay? So I'm not here to kind of preach. This post is actually meant to give you tons of little tips that come straight from my hands-on experience with working with kids and seeing what behavioral tricks really work magic on stubbornness, because whether it's not wanting to do your homework or not behaving in class or not being quiet or, you know, not paying attention or not eating, many of these are universal. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go along. This is just, these are just some tips, and you have to take and leave what doesn't serve you, and only you will know what is right for you and for your child, okay? So there is no one way to parent, and whoever tells you you're doing something wrong has not walked in your shoes. It's as simple as that, okay? So I want you to treat yourself with kindness too. So after my years of teaching, I can tell you that kids are not all made equal, and thank goodness for that, right? They are these amazing little people in the making with a complete universe inside of them that is totally different from the one inside the kid that's sitting right next to them. So having said that, these little tips come from my own experience with teaching and, of course, with understanding flavors, cooking, and why kids often turn their heads to certain foods. So it might be the case that one of these works with your kid. It might not be the case. They're all different, but some of these are really universal things. I've seen them work time and time again with many of the techniques I use in class with my little kids, right? So first I want to talk about two things that will help you understand and change things around. The first one is the taste receptor issue. So this has to do with biology, and it's so important to understand this, especially to just ease your mind and relax a little bit about this, because I know it can be so challenging and so stressful. So you all probably remember from science class that we have different kinds of taste receptors in our tongues. So we have different receptors for sweet, acidic, bitter, salty, and also the recently added umami taste, right? So in different parts of the tongue, we feel these tastes more powerfully in a way. So what scientists have recently discovered is that some children, and of course their parents as well, have a specific genetic characteristic that makes them much more susceptible to the bitter taste. And in the post that goes along with this episode, and it has the same name, you can just use the search bar at bramble.com to find it, I'm including a link to the details of the study that they did. So it's really, really interesting. Now, so some kids and their parents, because this is a genetic issue, are more susceptible to that bitter taste. And what are some of the common foods that carry a bitter taste that can really seem overpowering to children? I'm going to give you a second. Do you know? Yeah, vegetables. That's why so many kids turn their heads at veggies. So this genetic marker, which is not present in all children, it fades as children age, which is why you might have been a veggie-fearing child and you are now a kale-gobbling adult. So these characteristics, they kind of fade and your taste buds kind of become more adult taste buds as you age. So I always love to share this information because so many parents think that it's just about their child being willful, when in fact it might be a biological characteristic too. So there might be a little bit of behavioral things and a little bit of biology as well. So the next thing I want you to understand, remember we were talking about these two big things. The second thing is the number one lesson I've learned from teaching. And this is going to help you with all the tips I'm going to tell you about next. Okay, so kids love feeling that they're involved and that you respect them as their own person. If there's one thing that teaching has taught me, it is that. So granted, I only see my students for a few hours a week, so it's easier for me to make this conscious effort than it might be for an overworked and exhausted parent. But kids just love feeling that their opinions are worth something and that you value their thoughts and ideas. So nothing has been truer and more universal across the board in my experience, okay? So they really, really value this. They recognize when they are in the presence of an adult that is really paying attention to their thoughts and their feelings and their ideas. So you can use this to your advantage when it comes to mealtime. And in the three tips I'm going to share with you, this really, really comes into play. So we're gonna start with those now. And if you're listening to a little pitter-patter, my dogs are running around and they're going crazy, and one of them is also scratching. So there's a lot of jingling going around here with her little collar. So I'm sorry if you're getting that. Trust me, it gets even worse if I try to put them in the other room. So, okay, let's move on to tip number one. Tip number one is to involve them in the process. Kids are always more open to ideas when all or part of them came from their own little heads. kind of like husbands, right? Wink. So the more you involve them in the process of cooking and eating, the more likely they will be to actually eat. Now, this process can go from very simple to very elaborate, with the latter kind of working really, really like magic. But since I know many parents are so pressed for time, I'm going to give you a few different options that go from simple to a little more elaborate for when you have more time or it's the weekend, okay? The first one is what I call pick and eat. So whenever possible, if you have two different options for your child to choose from, and you know, this is most typical in the case of breakfasts or snacks, since there is less time required to prepare these. So this might not be the case for dinner. I'm not telling you to be a restaurant here, okay? So this is just when you have two options for your kid to choose from, this is where you can try to practice this. So I want you to play the pick and eat game. Now, I want you to say something like, "Guess what, buddy? Today, you can pick your breakfast. And I'm gonna ask you a few questions and you have to answer as fast as you can. Are you ready?" So then you're going to proceed to break down the options you have for their breakfast into a fun little game. This breaking down of something into little things the child has to answer quickly, I use this in teaching all the time and it's amazing. So once you begin, once you've explained the rules of the game, you have to ask, break it down into questions. So for example, savory or sweet? With your hand or with a spoon? With fruit or with nuts? Blue or purple? So this quick game makes kids laugh. It makes, you know, they have to answer like, you know, at lightning speed, and it makes them relax around food and see that mom or dad haven't begun that forced tug of war thing that you've probably been doing before if you're looking for this information. So of course, only break the options into these questions if you are sure you have all of those ingredients in the house or you're going to be in big trouble. But if you want to take this up a notch, this is where things get interesting. Tell them that whatever they choose, you have to eat the same thing as them and that you both have to sit down and eat it together. So if they choose crazy stuff, you have to eat it too. And this makes them just go bonkers. This turns the tables and they love it. So be warned if they pick some strange combinations, when they hear it, you're in on it too. So this is really special. This is a technique I use in teaching all the time. And it's that when, especially with teens and preteens, they love this. But with kids, it works amazing too. Teachers are kind of mystery creatures to them. So I always ask that if I'm asking them questions, then they can ask a question to me. So they love getting you in on things. And this is a great way to include this into your cooking and your eating choices and your food choices for them. So that's one option. Another really simple option, and it really works in some cases, not at all ages, but in some cases it's great. It is pick your plate. So sometimes something as simple as eating food off of your favorite plate will make a total difference. So take your kids somewhere where they sell crazy fun plates and have them pick their own. They'll be more likely to eat. Trust me on this. The people that make Band-Aids have been using this technique for years. So don't knock it till you try it. The next little game you can play or the next activity you can do with them to get them more involved is what I like to call Little Master Chef. So involving your kids in the cooking process takes more time than if you were cooking the meal yourself, I know. But it does wonders for their food behaviors. You know, they begin to understand the work that a meal requires. They get excited with all the anticipation and they begin to understand flavors and get kind of little tastes of the food throughout the process. So while you're cooking, they taste here and they taste there and they start kind of developing an interest for what's being prepared. And you can take this to the next level if you've got time, if it's the weekend, and if you feel that this is something that you'd be comfortable with, you can take them to the farmer's market and have them pick out something that just jumps out at them and go through Pinterest after you come home or a cookbook together and have your little one pick out the recipe. Have them choose what they want to make and what they want to eat. And then begin to cook together and ask for their opinion as you're cooking. Ask them what they think. What should we add more of this? Should we add more of that? Treat them like a mini master chef. That's the idea, right? To involve them as much as possible into the process. So this is a great activity to do occasionally during a stress-free weekend. And after the meal is done, before you sit down to eat, they love this part, have them take a photo of the result, and then you can post it on your Instagram and show them that everybody's clicking likes and seeing it. Or you can just send it to grandma. That alone is really a big motivator, right? So your heart will fill up with that proud look of total accomplishment they get when they reach, you know, this goal of creating something. They're so proud of it. And this happens, I have to tell you, this even happens in late teens, in the late teen years. So teenagers even feel that proud, they get that proud look on their face when they accomplish something. And they still love to tell mom and dad, in spite of the fact that they don't want you to know that, but they still love it. So that's another great tip. Another little activity is to give them something to aspire to. So there are so many cooking channels and blogs made by kids these days. So you can show your child how cool that is and help them feel inspired. Kids really thrive off having role models that they can relate to. So show them those role models. And it's really special when they start to see and get inspired. And who knows, you might be even creating a future chef in your household, which is super cool, right? Okay, so that was tip number one, which was all about getting them involved in the process as much as possible and making them feel that, you know, things are their idea and that things, you know, that they have a voice at home when it comes to their food. And this doesn't mean that you're going to cave to their every whim. That's not what it's about. It's about just getting them involved, and you'll see how things start to shift slowly. So that was tip number one. Tip number two is what I call the sippy cup smoothie, okay? And this is great because the ones before, your kid needs to be a certain age, right? You can't do this with a baby. So the sippy cup smoothie is, it involves some of the younger and also the older kids, but we're gonna talk about younger ages here. So I learned this trick from the amazing plant dietitian, Juliana Hever. Now you've heard me mention her before. In fact, she's one of our number one go-tos along with Jack Norris and Virginia Messina when it comes to plant-based nutrition. And you can also find her in our plant-based library of resources. We're linking to this in the post that corresponds to this audio, to this podcast episode. So you can find it here, or you can Google her, Juliana Hever. She's absolutely amazing. She's one of my go-to resources. And when I heard her mention this tip, I had a complete flashback, because we used to do a kind of version of this in the dining hall of the Organization for Abandoned and Foster Children. So remember, as I mentioned above, I was in charge of playground duty and mealtime. So in this particular scenario, the essence of Juliana's smoothie trick was applied for the purpose of increasing calories, since some of the kids were severely undernourished. So things like adding an extra tablespoon of olive oil or other healthy fats were added to soups and porridges in disguise just to provide extra calories for these kids. So this I'm talking was just emergency, you know, just emergency planning. They needed calories quickly apart from the meals that they were cooking for them. And this is something that we added just before serving the food to them. So the smoothie trick takes this even further, because, you know, a tablespoon of olive oil, that's not something that we should be doing unless we're in a situation like these kids were, right? So the smoothie trick really takes things, I mean, it's designed for parents of kids who downright refuse to eat anything that isn't sweet. For some reason, the sweetness receptors in children also seem to be heightened. So this might be why sugary cereal companies are making a killing, right? Because kids are really drawn to the sweet taste, and that's the beauty of the smoothie trick. So this is what it's about. You take your child to the store to pick out their favorite sippy cup or thermos. This will depend on how old they are, right? So make sure that whatever they choose isn't see-through so that they can't see what's inside. Now, you're going to tell them that they can pick any within those options, so no see-through, and then they can choose whatever they want. You're going to choose one too. And back home, you can make a plant-packed smoothie with as many greens and veggies as you can add, and balance out the flavor with some fruit so that the taste is really sweet. Now, my favorites for this are banana, a little piece of pear, or mango. You can add a bit of peanut butter or cacao if your child loves chocolate. And you can add some sort of protein source too. So for example, hemp hearts or a little hemp or pea protein are my favorites for this because they really keep the smoothie really smooth in texture. So chia seeds are also a great option, but your kid will feel the texture and it might turn them off if they're a really picky eater. So you add all of this, you add some plant-based milk, you pour it into a thermos for you and their picked out thermos or sippy cup, and you are going to call this a milkshake. You can call it mommy's special milkshake, daddy's special milkshake, and you can kind of tease them and say, hey, I made this, this is so good, and they'll kind of start asking for it if they see you're oohing and aahing after you're drinking it and saying it's so delicious and so sweet. So as long as your child doesn't see the contents, especially in the case of green smoothies, because, you know, let's face it, kids have an issue with green, most kids at least. So if your kid doesn't see what's inside, they will fall in love with the sweet taste, and you're getting the peace of mind that even though this involved a little bit of scheming, your child got some much needed nutrients in their bodies. So this is really great. And sometimes we need to use these little tricks, especially if you've tried everything else and you're exhausted. I get it. You want something that just works and gets food into them, right? So we've got delicious smoothie recipes in our online program. You can go to mybrownbowl.com to read all about it and get a little taste of it and see what all our features are all about. So you can find lots of recipes there, and you can also find many recipes online. So there are tons and tons and tons of smoothie recipes, and you can just start kind of experimenting on your own too. So this same principle can be used in homemade baby food for when your baby is beginning to eat and hasn't developed his or her language skills yet. Okay, so you can't maybe use the other tips I recommend because they involve communicating with your kid, but if you have a baby, you can prepare baby food at home that includes all of those healthy foods, and it includes lots of sweetness. So by adding mango or banana or something that's really sweet. And of course, pay attention to your doctor recommendations of what babies can and cannot have. There are special things that, you know, babies shouldn't eat at certain ages. So that's it for tip number two, which is that smoothie trick. And you can thank Juliana Hever for that. She's absolutely amazing. Go check out her website. It's really, really, really good. So tip number three is it's not bribing, it's negotiating. So there is so much debate when it comes to bribing your kids, and that means offering them something in return after eating a plate of food, for example. Now, I've never met a parent who doesn't do it, okay? Let's just get that out in the open. Let's put it on the table. I have never met a parent who doesn't do it. And so many experts are shaming moms and dads for going down this road. And although I do think that most of the time we need to teach children that they have to do certain things because it's their responsibility or because it's just what's right or what they have to do, there is a time and a place and a way to offer something as a prize for behavior. So we're not calling it bribing because you're not going to frame it in those terms. I like to call it negotiation because kids understand negotiation really well and they love to do it. So speak their language. They love to negotiate. So this is where negotiation can happen. And we're talking about giving a prize as a way of kind of giving them an incentive for a behavior, not a bribe. So this is how I learned how to be an amazing eater as a kid, okay? I would gobble up broccoli raw from the stalk, and I would eat anything my mom put in front of me, but it wasn't always the case. And it was all because I followed her one little negotiation rule. It was kind of a house rule we had, and this means, you know, she didn't have to try to make me budge every single time. She didn't have to remind me every single time. After a while, I knew that this was a rule, and it was so rewarding for me that I kept on doing it. So it was a given in my house that every time I would try something new, and I'm not talking about eating, I'm talking about just trying it. So trying a taste of it, whether it be a vegetable or a dish or a fruit or a soup, etc., I would get a little reward at the end of the meal. So my favorite thing as a kid was a little piece of chocolate. It probably still is, but it was even more so as a kid. I was a total chocoholic. So whenever I didn't want to eat something, my mom would simply say, okay, but remember our little reward system. If you just try it, you can have your little prize. This worked on me like nothing else ever had. And soon I was eating anything my mom put in front of me. Why? Because they have now determined that it can take up to 15 tastes of a food for a child's extra sensitive taste buds to find it enjoyable. So that means your kid needs to try something over 15 times to actually like it, unless it's something that's, you know, obviously likable, like chocolate, right? They probably love it at the first try. So that means that tasting and trying is the key. This is why this last tip is so helpful and so amazing. And together with all of the others, we're tackling everything. We're tackling biology, we're tackling behavioral issues. So I hope these tips serve you as a great jumping off point for your own ideas. And please feel free to ask me any follow-up questions or share what has worked for you in the comments in the post at brownbowl.com or on social media, or send us an email at info@brownbowl.com. And to all my dear mamas and papas, I saw day in and day out with the kids at the center and with the parents of my students how rough some kids can make it, especially when it comes to eating more vegetables. So do the best you can, and please be kind to yourselves when you hit a wall or you have a misstep. It happens to everybody. Please, please, please be kind to yourself too, and just be patient. You know, chances are, if you're reading this and you're doing your research, you are doing an amazing job with your little ones. And I promise you that these phases will soon pass. And, you know, these are great starting jumping off points for just getting inspired into finding little techniques to get to create good eaters. We want to create good eaters so that they eat healthy and they enjoy eating fruits and vegetables. And so please don't be hard on yourselves. Everybody goes through this with kids. I've seen it day in and day out. And they're willful, but, you know, we can handle the situation if we use a little creativity. And if nothing else works, these phases usually pass soon. So please do not worry. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or if you're on the computer in front of the post, please help us spread the word by sharing it with your loved ones. You can share the podcast episode on iTunes or on Stitcher, or you can share the post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Don't forget to tag us so that we can send you a little thank you. And just share it with your loved ones, your partners, your child caregivers, or anybody who you know is battling a picky eater. It's happening to a lot of people. So this really helps if you're trying to incorporate more healthy foods into your youngling's diet. So thank you so much for stopping by. I can't wait to hang out with you again next week on Thursday. That's our date. So don't forget to stop on by here again. Thank you so much, you guys. I'll see you again really soon. Bye.